हे वासुदेवा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरये नस्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवय नित्यं भगवत सेवय भगवति उत्तम श्लोके पति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी भवति नैश्चिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 6, text number 44. Tava vikriditam Krishna, tava vikriditam Krishna, tava vikriditam Krishna, vikriditam Krishna. Nrinam paramamangalam, nrinam paramamangalam, nrinam paramamangalam, paramamangalam. Karna piyushamasadhyā, piyushamasadhyā, karna piyushamasadhyā. Tyajanti anya spriham janaha, Janti anyas priham janaha, tyajanti anyas priham janaha. Tava vikriditam Krishna, ninam paramamangalam, karna piyushamasadhyā. Tajanti anya spriham janaha. Please chant.
Tava vikriditam Krishna.
Tava vikriditam Krishna.
Paramamangalam.
Paramamangalam.
Shamasadhyaya.
Tajanti
anya spriham janaha.
Tajanti anya spriham janaha. Nilam paramamangalam karnam piyushamasadhyā tyajanti anyas priham janaha. Vaishnavis. Tava vikriditam Krishna Ninam paramamangalam karna piyushamasadhyā yajanti anya spriham janaha. Anyone else? Tava your vikriditam pastimes Krishna. O Krishna, Nrinam for men, Paramamangalam, supremely auspicious, Karana for the care, Piyusam, nectar, Asadhyā, having tasted, Tyajanti, they reject, Anya, for other things, spriham, their desires, janaha, for persons. Translation, O my dear Krishna, Your pastimes are supremely auspicious for mankind and are an intoxicating beverage for the ears. Tasting such pastimes, people forget their desires for other things. Purport by the anonymous disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Anya spriham, or desire for things other than Krishna, indicates the material desire to enjoy wife, children, money, and so on. Ultimately, the materialist may desire religious salvation for his personal comfort and satisfaction, but all such desires are mundane, because on the spiritual platform, the pure soul thinks only of the Lord's pleasure and the Lord's service. Therefore, a pure devotee can never give up Krishna, even for a moment, although for Krishna's pleasure he can give up the entire universe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangolam Gayate Girim Yat Kripastamahang Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Panchakapataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Ghora Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak here at the most wonderful, auspicious, and famous Shishi Radha Gopinath Mandir. This is such a wonderful, transcendental place and home for people, devotees all over the world, and even people who are not devotees yet. So thank you so very much for allowing me to try to say a few words in the service of Srila Prabhupada. So in the last sentence of this purport, it says that a pure devotee can never give up Krishna even for a moment, although for Krishna's pleasure he can give up the entire world, entire universe. So it reminds me of this verse in the Bible where it says that what gaineth a man if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? So it's really along the lines of that understanding. What's the use if I have everything in the world, but I give up my real self-interest in order to attain it? So in this case, Sri Uddhava is speaking, and he is anticipating the pain of separation from Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is about to depart to his own abode. Uddhava wants to go with him, but the Lord is not going to allow him that. So he proceeds to speak in very intricate ways to Sri Uddhava. He speaks the Uddhava Gita, which is really even more exhaustive than the Bhagavad Gita. Many, many chapters where Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, giving him final instructions just to satisfy the heart of Uddhava. And of course, through the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can all eavesdrop on their conversation. So Uddhava is asking us in this verse to become intoxicated. Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So Uddhava is asking us to become intoxicated, But in the beginning of Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami is asking us to become sober, right? Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, etan vegan yog, visaheta dira, sarvana pimam, kativim prasisya. Right? Is that almost it? So who do we listen to? Uddhava's asking us to become intoxicated. Rupa Goswami's asking us to become sober. So it's a dilemma, right? So there are different kinds of intoxication. When Srila Prabhupada was so mercifully teaching in New York in the early days, an intoxicated bum came into the temple at 26 Second Avenue, and he was just babbling some craziness. And Prabhupada said under his breath, with great compassion, Prabhupada said, "It is the darkest of darkness." He said, "It is the darkest of darkness." You know, this that a human being who's come to the human form of life can degrade and decline to this level of such madness, right? So unfortunate. So this is intoxication, you could say, in the mode of ignorance. What about intoxication in the mode of passion? Does anyone have any ideas about that? How is someone intoxicated in the mode of passion? Position, wealth, prestige. So, right, kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarya. So intoxicated by pride, right? Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, first of all, in his very first shloka of Manasa, what is it? Manasiksha, he says, give up pride. That's the first step. First give up pride, and then you can proceed. So this intoxication of the mode of passion, right? I've created so much by my own power, by my own greatness. I'm a self-made man, you know, the rugged individual, very kind of Western thinking in a sense, you know. Very different from the traditional Indian thinking when people realize that it's just by the grace of my spiritual master, by the grace of so many blessings I've received in my life that I've come to this place. And then people become charitable, just like the lady, is it Lady Northcott? Lady Northcott, orphanage. So someone was feeling, I've been so blessed in my life, let me give back, right? Let me give to people who are less fortunate than myself. This is the humility of knowledge. Even philosophers, you could say, what about intoxication in the mode of goodness? What would someone say about that? Any ideas of that? Intoxication in the mode of goodness. Yes, Prabhu? Become conditioned by feelings of happiness. Or sometimes philosophers, intellectuals who are engaging with their minds and their intellects on such a high level, they become intoxicated with that kind of a pride. It's a little different from the pride of the, you know, the stock exchange where everyone's, the stocks went up, the stocks went down. That's a different pride. But even in Lord Chaitanya's prayers where he says, nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, we usually hear it translated as, I don't want any wealth, I don't want any followers, I don't want any beautiful women. But another way of understanding the Sanskrit is that I don't want the ability to write any beautiful, to have a beautiful prose style, to be a great writer, to be famous as a great writer with a great prose style, kavita sundarim. So there's so many different types of intoxication. But Uddhava is asking us to become intoxicated by Krishna's paramamangalam pastimes, these beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna. So sometimes it's said that we have two ears and they're always open. And we have one mouth and it's by nature closed. So what does that mean? We should, in fact, we're always hearing, even if we're not trying to be hearing, you know, at night. The dogs are barking, you know, all day long. You can hear the birds, you can hear the traffic, we're always hearing. But we have to acquire this taste or this thirst that we see in the great devotees like Sri Uddhava, to hear this Paramamangalam, to acquire this taste for the supreme pastimes of Lord Krishna, which can actually transform our hearts and take us back to the spiritual world. So we have right now, we have a lower taste, and we don't know the nature of that higher taste. We don't realize when we hear Krishna's holy name or when we hear the pastimes of Krishna that this is not material sound. It's actually sound of an entirely different nature that's coming from the spiritual strata. But because of our ignorance, because we're sleeping for so many thousands and millions of lives on the lap of the witch called Maya, we think, oh, this is just another sound, you know. Then there's the newspapers, there's the media, there's this, there's that, and then there's Krishna's pastimes. We think of it as all the same, but it's not. It comes from a very different strata of existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, there's a beautiful verse. Let's see if I can find it. Did I mark it? It's Srila Prabhupada explains that those who are not conversant with... Let me see if I marked it. Yes, it's an important verse in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 26. Anye tvevam ajananta shutivan ebya upasite tepi chati tarantieva mityum shuti parayanaha. So he's saying, Krishna is saying in this verse to Arjuna that there are those who are not conversant, like us, in spiritual knowledge, and they can also begin to worship the Supreme Person by hearing about him from others. And because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they can also transcend the path of birth and death. So this is a very important verse explaining that the great power of hearing from self-realized authorities. And how when such a person even has a slight inclination to hear, they can be taken all the way back to the spiritual world and become free from the cycle of birth and death just by trying to cultivate that ability to hear from these great spiritual authorities. You know, we hear so much blah, blah, blah all the time, but beginning to hear from spiritual authorities who can change the nature of our existence, right? So in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, if one is just a good soul, so you know how Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that there are different categories of people who are not yet devotees, but who can become devotees, the curious, those in search of money, those in search of knowledge, those who are in distress. But here he says, if someone is just a good soul and they have this tendency to hear from others, they can be taken back to the spiritual world. There's a story about Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan that he was there and he was speaking. And when he began to speak, he noticed that many of the leaders, many of his ISKCON leaders were not present for him to hear him speaking. And he said, "Where are they?" And someone said, "Well, they've gone for darshan in the Vrindavan temple, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "But if they do not hear, what will they see?" It's a very instructive story. If they do not hear, what will they see? Srila Prabhupada also, with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his Guru Maharaj, is a beautiful story that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was... It's a similar story. He was taking all his disciples and followers around Vrindavan to so many temples... But one night he was speaking. But most of the devotees went off to see the Adikeshava temple. But there were very, very few who were there to hear from him. And Srila Prabhupada was one of those few. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati later said, "I have marked this boy. He hears nicely." So it's a very, very important thing not to be taken cheaply, right? So in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the most amazing verse and purport. I wanted to share it with you. It's this is something else here. Yes. Well, I wanted to quote this verse. Satam prasangat mama virya samvido vajanti hrit karna rasayanakata yet taj jo sanat asvith asva upavarya vartmani shradha rati bhaktir anukramisyati. So this is not the verse I was mentioning. This is a verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's a very important verse that explains really the process, how it works. That by hearing in the association of devotees, so in other words, hearing from a realized personality like Srila Prabhupada in the association of those who have faith. So hearing in the mood of thirst, in the mood of drinking the nectar from this great personality. So by hearing in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead become very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. So this process of how faith develops and how attachment for hearing develops just by hearing this rati, this shraddha and the rati, the faith and the attachment for hearing becomes so much increased, right? So if someone hears nicely, they will be able to speak nicely. And once Srila Prabhupada said that the best follower will become the best leader. So that's a very important instruction also. Sometimes you see someone who's a brand new devotee and they just have a great desire to hear and a great desire to serve. And you can be sure that, you know, mark that person, because you can be sure that in a very few short years, that person will be doing amazing devotional service. Just by that tendency to hear, that tendency to serve. Also in Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, Arjuna is saying to Krishna that the more I hear from of your wonderful glories, the more I want to hear. So this taste, this kind of thirst, this hunger for hearing, this great desire for hearing is extremely transformative. And then in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the Shruti Phal, that one who listens with faith without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So just by hearing Bhagavad Gita, and of course Sanjaya, he's hearing with a sense of wonder. He's experiencing a thrill at every moment. So how beautiful is that? He's hearing with a sense of wonder, experiencing his hair is standing on end, and he's experiencing a thrill at every moment. That doesn't happen to me in Bhagavatam class. So we can try to come to the point of hearing the way Sanjaya has heard and these great devotees have heard. So the one I wanted to read to you from the Srimad Bhagavatam is from the fourth canto. There's so much in this beautiful purport. This is from the prayers of Maharaj Prithu from the fourth canto. But you probably know the verse. It talks about how I'll read it. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. So it's such a beautiful verse that when a pure devotee speaks, his voice carries these saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. How amazing is that? And there's just so much in this purport. But Srila Prabhupada says that he says, I'll just read one paragraph. He says, a pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron, mercy, particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although when a devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment, he had forgotten everything. So there's more, but such a beautiful, stunning, one of the most ecstatically stunning verses and descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So we're asked to become hungry, thirsty for this kind of intoxication. Although in the beginning it just sounds like ordinary words, like the holy name. You can't say the words of the mantra. They're not words. They're actually not words. And if we can just begin, focus our attention on the very first Hare of the mantra, and then try to catch the sound, we can be so blessed and be so fortunate just by truly hearing the sound of the mantra, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya was hearing from Ramananda Roy, it's interesting, Lord Chaitanya himself was hearing from Ramananda Roy, who was appearing to be a materialistic governor of the state of Madras. He had so many, he had a big entourage, so many people who were his assistants. And Lord Chaitanya, the great, great Mahabhagavat sannyasi, of course, we know him as Krishna himself, he wanted to hear from Ramananda Roy because Ramananda Roy was such a pure devotee. Of course, Ramananda Roy was actually Vishakha. So Vishakha is considered our guru. She's the guru of all the arts to teach us all the arts of Lord Krishna. So even Lord Chaitanya hears from a guru. He was hearing from Guru Vishakha. And he was asking questions, and Ramananda Roy was giving answers. And the first answer that Lord Chaitanya actually accepted, that yes, I accept this, this is where we begin, was this point about it's from the prayers of Lord Brahma, Stanestita Srutigatam Tanavan Manovir. He says, just stay in your position. You don't have to run away, leave home, but just try to hear. Just try to hear deeply the Srimad Bhagavatam, and your heart will be transformed. So this is the first verse that Lord Chaitanya actually accepted. But also in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Devi explains that there has to be a quality to this hearing. We can hear in the mood of a great complacency, like, oh, Radha Gopinath temple, it's all right. Maybe I'll go by on Sunday. Usually Radhana Swami speaks on Sunday morning. Maybe I'll go by on Sunday the rest of the week. I can just read my newspaper, go online, whatever. Maybe I'll check it out sometimes once in a while on Sunday. So if we hear with complacency like that, the process will still work, but it just may take 300 years. So it depends on how ardent our desire is to hear, how much we want it, right? How hungry we are. Because if we're hungry, if we have a great hunger to hear, if we have a great thirst to hear, then we will be able to digest, right? If you're not hungry, you can't digest when you eat, and then you just get sick, right? So if we have a great hunger and thirst to hear, then we'll be able to actually see that change in our hearts little by little, like the verse says in the first canto that we chant in the morning before the class, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So it's like drops of water every day. Drops of water wear away stone. Those drops of water by hearing every day that the heart becomes cleansed, right? So There's another story about Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking sometimes devotees say, well, I'll come and hear Radhana Swami, but I'm not going to go and hear the rest of those guys because they're not really pure devotees. And I'm just maybe I'll go to Radhakund and listen to some Babaji's, or maybe I'll come by once in a while when there's a big sannyasi speaking at the temple. But there's a really instructive story about Srila Prabhupada. I think this happened in Seattle in the early days. And someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, in your movement, how many pure devotees are there like you? And Srila Prabhupada turned to, I think it was Upendra. Srila Prabhupada said, how many are we now? I think about 50. So you get the point, you know, Srila Prabhupada is, and he himself used to like to hear from his disciples. He would sit and listen and relish hearing from his own disciples. So we shouldn't think, oh, I'm so elevated, I can only hear from pure devotees, so therefore I can't hear from any of my God brothers or anyone else. Right? This story is instructive. And sometimes you hear devotees say, why are all these people writing so many books, chasing rhinos? What does that have to do with Srimad Bhagavatam? Devotees say this sometimes, right? Why are all these people writing so many books? We should read Srila Prabhupada's books. You know, but we have Srila Prabhupada's books, we have the book Bhagavata, and then in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes that we hear from so many of these people who had such wonderful association with him, like Shyamasundara Prabhu, we hear of the pastimes and the mood of the person Bhagavata, right? How important is that? Both the person and the book Bhagavata, we're taught, are very important. And Srila Prabhupada also gave the instruction that you should all write books explaining my books. So that's another very important point. All of you should write books in maybe thinking of a certain context. Maybe you're an engineer, and maybe you can write a book explaining to people with engineering brains how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Or maybe you're a mommy and you feel like my daughter doesn't like to come to Bhagavatam class because she thinks it's boring. So maybe you can write a book explaining Srila Prabhupada's thought to little girls or little boys. You know, there's so many different audiences, right? And people need to hear in context in a way that they can understand, because what happens is, even though our ears are always open, still we sort of have flaps over them and we don't really hear. But if things can be explained in context that has a context to my own life, then people's ear holes can be more open. You know, when I was raising Gauravani, I was always a very prescriptive mother. You should do this and you should do this. And my husband sometimes would say to me, he said, when someone is speaking and someone is listening, who's controlling the conversation? So what's the answer to that? Someone's speaking and someone's listening. Who's controlling the conversation? What do you think? Huh? The person is listening, right? So you might be blah, 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 saying so many things. You should do this and you should do this and you should do this. But the person who's listening is controlling, because they can stop listening at any moment if we're not speaking in a way that they can understand, that will be relevant to them and their own place. You know, speaking to a teenager is different from speaking to a PhD engineer or something like that, right? So sometimes we read these books and there are many fantastical stories, Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand. How impossible does that sound? So many impossible pastimes. Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's dancing with the elephants in the Jarikanda forest. Do you believe it? Is it fiction? It's amazing, right? We might think, well, I kind of believe it, but maybe it's impossible. Maybe, you know, maybe Krishna Das Kaviraj Maharaj is just kind of, you know, maybe dressing it up a bit, you know, maybe it's not really true. But we were just in Pune and we met some very nice devotees there, a brother and sister. And guess where they're from? Jarikand. And they were telling us that there's a very big area of stone in Jarikand where you can see the footprints, human footprints are melted into the stone. And along with those human footprints, there are elephant footprints, tiger footprints, and deer footprints all together. So maybe it's not fiction after all. Maybe it's really true. Maybe it's not mythology at all. So I wanted to conclude with one story that I feel is very important. Srila Prabhupada, this is again a story from Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada was giving Nectar of Devotion lectures in the courtyard of the Radha Damodar Temple. Maharaj, were you there at that time? The Nectar of Devotion classes? So Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and he was speaking very strongly, and he was speaking about Vrindavan and perhaps speaking about his own disciples as well. And he was saying, there are so many exalted persons, but they have not gotten a taste for Vasudev Katha Ruchi. They have not gotten this taste. So because they have not gotten the taste, they could not create a sense of taste in the people in general. And he said, it's not the fault of the people. It's the fault of the preachers. And he said that just like Lord Chaitanya, wherever he went, he created an immense taste in everyone to hear, to chant, to dance, and to take up the pure process of bhakti. So if we try to preach, we hear so much preach, preach, preach. In one lecture I heard Srila Prabhupada say, we hear so much preach, 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 but they do not know. They must be empowered to preach. Very powerful instruction. So in this lecture in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if you do not get the taste for Vasudeva Katha, if you don't get that ruchi, Vasudeva Katha ruchi, then your so-called preaching will only be imitation and it will have no effect. Super important instruction, I feel, from Srila Prabhupada. So these are some thoughts on becoming intoxicated, getting a taste for Krishna's paramamangalam pastimes and for the holy name. And are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you. Thank you for the very wonderful class. There's so many wonderful points in there. There's a number of things that I would like to reflect on. When you're speaking about just the importance of attentive hearing, I was reminded of the pastime in the first canto when the sages of Naimisharanya are... Their Suta Goswami had just entered the assembly. And Suta Goswami is speaking to them, and he uses a particular word. The Sanskrit word is nivishta. And Srila Prabhupada defines that word, nivishta, as meaning drinking nectar through the ear. And he Prabhupada translates it to the verse and describes in the purport how Suta Goswami was listening so attentively. He was drinking the nectar, the words from Shukadev Goswami through the ear. And then Prabhupada explains in the purport, Vyasadeva may also be saying it in the verse, I'm not sure. But Prabhupada says that because Suta Goswami was hearing so attentively that he received the blessings from Shukadev Goswami, because of that, and because he received the blessings from Shukadeva Goswami, he was able to nicely repeat everything that he heard, not like a parrot, not like a tape recorder, but according to his understanding and realizations. So attentive hearing is just so very important. And we can see from this example of Suta Goswami that that was, according to this, the verse, his main qualification for being able to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, presented for the second time. I wanted to thank you for that. Also, when you were speaking of Srila Prabhupada in giving lectures in Vrindavan, and a lot of his leading disciples were out taking darshan, and Prabhupada said, if they do not hear, what will they see? And I was reminded of two different instances. Srila Prabhupada gave a similar lecture, or at least portion of a lecture. He gave this in Vrindavan in India and in New Vrindavan in West Virginia. And he's answering the question, what will they see? And Prabhupada, in these two lectures, he uses the terms Archavigraha and Galagraha. Archavigraha, we know, is the deity form that we worship to so the Lord can accept our service. And Prabhupada says, if we do not hear sufficiently, we will begin to think, why has my rascal spiritual master left me with the burden of worshiping the deity? Archavigraha becomes Galagraha. And he said that this is due to insufficient hearing. And he was specifically referring to Srimad Bhagavatam class.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. A very important class by Srila Prabhupada. Do you know what year that was, that class in Vrindavan?
I don't know the exact year, but it was after the opening of the temple. And in New Vrindavan, I believe it was a 1974 visit.
So instructive. Thank you so much. Any questions? Yes? Hare Krishna.
I have my old father visiting right now, and I keep seeing him every day. He, and from many years, like, you know, he's also associated with ISKCON in Detroit, and he's also been chanting, and he does so much noble work, but still he has so much rust in him, like, you know, rust in the sense he wants to enjoy everything. Some things are good and some things are, you know, according to me, I feel it's not, his mind, like he wants to visit so many places. So I was just wondering, what if I become like this, like everywhere I want to go and when you get old, like you have your limitations, you can't keep going alone everywhere and people also cannot accompany you everywhere. So like, how do we become that dry cotton? And if we are wet cotton, like even at that old age, we will be still lingering, chanting.
It depends on our desire, right? The whole material world, according to the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is based on this illusion of desire. The spiritual world is the real tree, and the material world is the reflected tree. And what is it reflected on? Our desire. So it depends on how burning our desire is. And among the American devotees, we have a joke, though. When we come to India, we say to the devotees, is your mother a devotee? Is your father a devotee? And usually the devotees in India will say, well, my mother, I mean, she chants 16 rounds, but she's not really a devotee. You know, my father, he's chanting about 8 rounds, but he's really not a devotee. And we always have a good laugh over that because, in fact, these are devotees. Prabhupada used the example of the ripe mango and the unripe mango, right? So we have to understand that even an unripe mango will one day be a mango, a ripe, juicy mango, sweet mango. So we have to have patience. Of course, it's always a balance between patience and enthusiasm. We can be so patient that we can't even make it up in the morning. And we can become so enthusiastic that we're causing so much pain to other people through fanatical thinking. So that balance is important, but have patience with your parents. And I think the great example of Srila Radhana Swami is that he's always very strict with himself, but very patient with other people. Whereas we have other leaders in the past. I mean, we've had so many headaches, so many problems in ISKCON. Leaders who are, you know, you should do this, get out, you know, all this kind of thinking. they were more strict with other people than they were with themselves. So we can see which example we want to follow and what will be the palena parichute. You can see the results of this great preaching, Govardhan Eco Village, Radha Gopinath Mandir, Pune, all these most amazing temples, off the charts, amazing, amazing temples with beautiful preaching programs and beautiful devotee relationships, right? By valuing the people over the projects thrive. So this comes from being strict with ourselves and being very patient and encouraging to others. Is that helpful?
Thank you.
Yes.
When I'm sitting for Bhagavatam, you know, my mind goes sometimes here and there. So how can I, you know, completely 100% put my mind and ears to just hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Very nice question. So the mind is like a child or like a little cow wandering around, right? Govinda, he's the lord of the cows and he's the lord of the things that wander. So our minds tend to wander. It's the nature of a little child to wander. It's the nature of a little cow to wander away. And so just like a mother, she keeps shepherding the child back. Come on, no, don't run in the street. No, we don't say things like that about devotees. No, sit down and try to think of Krishna. So be gentle with your subtle body. You don't have to whip your subtle body into oblivion. But just be encouraging like you'd encourage a child, you know. No matter how many times the mind wanders away, keep bringing it back. Like the mother doesn't say to the child, okay, I told you once. I told you twice. And now I'm just going to give you 50 rupees and you go out on the street and you can figure it out yourself. Does a mother ever say that? No. No matter how many millions of times, with patience, she keeps, you know. So, just one very beautiful instruction I received when I just attended the Govardhan retreat, the Holy Name retreat, for the first time in my life. And it was really wonderful. I highly recommend it. Sachinandan Swami, Burjan Prabhu, wonderful teachers. And one instruction that Burjan Prabhu was repeatedly giving, and it's just really, after so many months, starting to occur to me how important it is and how it really works. He was saying repeatedly, if you can just catch the mantra with the first Hare, then if you can be fully present to the whole, one whole Hare Krishna mantra, you are so fortunate. And if you're not, then you can try again. Okay? Start by trying to catch the first Hare, and then see if you can be present for the whole entire mantra. It's really a powerful instruction. So I would just pass that on to you. I'm finding that very helpful.
Thank you, Mataji.
Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for your lecture. Mother, I just want to ask, many times we have a selective hearing, like you were mentioning, that when speaker is like good or he is a known speaker, he give good lectures, so we generally like to hear from him only, or we don't, so many times we discriminate between the speakers, who is speaking, who is not. So I just want to know how to overcome this tendency.
What do you think is the source of that tendency? Can anyone say? Can you say, or can anyone say? Where does that come from, that selective hearing, when I only want to hear maybe kirtan by Gauravani and Vishwambar, or I only want to come to class on Sunday morning when I know Radhana Swami is speaking? Where does that come from? Can anyone say? Any thoughts? Do you have a thought? What? Immature understanding. What else? What? Wicked mind. Well, where does a wicked mind come from? What's the beginning of a wicked mind? Anyone else have a thought? What? Envy. What else? Good. What else? I'm better than others. I can speak just as good as he can. Why do I have to sit in the Bhagavatam class and listen to him? I was initiated 2 years before him. Why do I have to sit and listen to him? He's such a neophyte and he's so puffed up. And he eats too much prasadam. Why should I have to listen to him? You know, it's like pride. It's envy sitting in the heart. And the fact is, even like, for example, today, if the most unqualified barbarian person gives a class, you can still find maybe one word that can sustain you for the day, and maybe even more than the day, maybe even for a week, maybe even for a lifetime. Sometimes your whole life can shift by something you heard in a Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, but if we have to be hearing in this consciousness of Akinchana Gochara, the Kunti Devi, because talking about pride, what does Kunti Devi say in her prayers? Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribir, Edamanama Dakpuman, Naivar Hatya Bidatam Vai, Tomakinchana Gochuram. So all of these things, pride of birth, Janma, Aishwarya, wealth, power, Shuta, great learning, Shribir, beauty, all these things, we're talking about intoxication, right? These are all different brands of intoxication. Like you can be driving around the neighborhood and see some liquor store, oh, such and such liquor store. That's one brand of intoxication. All these others are also brands of intoxication. Pride in birth, pride in power, pride in wealth, pride in beauty, pride in... It's all intoxication. And this is our disqualification. This is why we can't hear. Because we're so disqualified being intoxicated by pride. And in this way we go on sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya, life after life after life. But the fact is we should take it seriously. We should take it as urgent. Because we've come so close. Now you've come so close, right? You're in touch with Srila Prabhupada's books. Maybe you have Diksha. Maybe you're on the route to getting Diksha. We've come so close. So why not take it seriously and just finish our business and go back to home, back to God at the end of this life? Depends on how we hear. Right? So thank you all so very much. Hare Krishna.